Hi, readers. Welcome to Books Connect Us from Penguin Random House. This is a podcast about staying connected with each other and the stories and authors who inspire us. Karen McManus is the number one New York Times bestselling author of One of Us is Lying, its sequel, One of Us is Next, and Two Can Keep a Secret. In her new novel, The Cousins, estranged family members travel to an island to meet their rich and reclusive grandmother. The longer they stay, the more they realize how mysterious and dark their family's past is. Now let's join Caitlin Whalen in conversation with author Karen McManus.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to Books Connect Us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Caitlin. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to get to talk to you, all things One of Us is Lying, all the way to your new book coming out in December, The Cousins. But first and foremost, I would love to hear what you have been doing lately to stay connected.
Oh, yeah, it's hard, isn't it? We're getting into month six or so of the new world, and it's very challenging. I have really been trying to make sure I take time every day to check in with my friends and my family because I don't get to see them as much as I used to. So we're doing a lot more texting, we're doing a lot more Zoom chats, or even just sending a book recommendation just so the day doesn't go by without me talking to someone outside my household. And slowly starting to do a little bit more in person. You know, my book club has started meeting, socially distanced book club. We sit 6 feet apart. We wear our masks outside, but at least we get to see each other. So that's been really nice.
That's great. What are the books you've been reading lately in the book club?
Yeah, so we just read Educated by Tara Westover, and that was really interesting. It had been on my TBR for a while, but you know, one of the things about being an author and being in the YA space is I have so many books that I want to read within my category, and I don't often move outside into the adult world or the nonfiction world, so it was a really nice change of pace.
Yeah, I listened to that one as an audiobook. For all the podcast listeners who like to listen in, it's a great audiobook as well.
Yeah, it was very interesting. Good discussion.
Yeah, and interesting to think about, you know, education too being such a hot topic now and how we're moving forward and how it works in this country with quarantine. And before we go off into a huge tangent there, I would love to make sure everybody knows about all the books you've written. So you have your fourth number four book coming out in December for many years. And you've had One of Us is Lying, which knocked our socks off. And then we had the sequel to that, One of Us is Next. And then you also have your other novel, Two Can Keep a Secret. So to get everybody on the same page, do you think you could give us a quick one-liner description of each of those books before we start talking about The Cousins?
Yes. So One of Us is Lying, which was my first book, is like The Breakfast Club, but with murder. And its sequel, One of Us is Next, is Truth or Dare Turns Deadly. And as for Two Can Keep a Secret, which is my second novel in a standalone, I would call that History Repeats Itself in a Town Known for Missing Girls.
And those books absolutely knocked everyone's socks off. And I will absolutely never look at Truth or Dare the same way after reading One of Us.
Mission accomplished.
Right. And so One of Us is Lying, I know a lot of people listening in are going to be very familiar with that read. It has been picked up by Peacock to be made into a TV series. And I believe it's going to have 8 episodes. And it's going to be under the co-creator of Netflix's Elite, which is a show I personally have binged at least 2 times through since quarantine started. So if I wasn't already excited for One of Us is Lying, now I absolutely cannot wait. But how does that feel to have your book being turned into a series? What's the experience been like so far? What can you share with us?
Yeah, it's been really exciting. And, you know, we had shot the pilot last fall, and that went really well, and there was lots of excitement. And then, of course, the pandemic hit, and a lot of things were just put on hold because really you can't shoot in this environment. You can't get people together. So production kind of halted, and I really wasn't sure if we would have any news at all this year. And so it was a real vote of confidence by the network to decide to move forward, and it was really exciting. And then when Dario came on board, I'm also a big fan of Elite, and I got a chance to speak with him a couple of weeks ago, and I was really excited for his vision for telling the rest of the story, because at the moment, only the pilot is written. So there's still work to be done in putting together the full story arc. But there's a great team in place. They're getting the writer's room in place. And I think there's, you know, hope that the series will be able to air at some point next year. Obviously, there's still a lot in the balance, but that's what people are shooting for. And the cast is excited and ready to go. And it's a wonderful young cast. And the chemistry between them is phenomenal. And that's probably the most exciting thing to me, is to see them bond the way that my characters bond on the page.
So they're feeling like a really good connection from the characters from the book, and they're having that same chemistry on screen, you think?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. There's some great pictures on, if you follow me on Instagram, I've posted a few cast pictures, and you can just see how much these young actors enjoy one another, and I'm excited to see that translate on screen.
Can you tell us your handle really quickly in case people want to check it out while they're listening?
Yeah, it's Writer KMC.
Okay, good. So everybody go ahead and start scrolling and check out those photos, because it is fascinating to see a book that you love come to life. So congratulations. And
thank
we
you.
Can talk about that all day long, but I do want to think a little bit about The Cousins that comes out in December. What is The Cousins about?
So it is about a very prominent family, the Story family, who sort of rule over this small Massachusetts island. And many years ago, the four children of the, you know, matriarch and patriarch of this family were suddenly disowned very mysteriously by their widowed mother with a single sentence: "You know what you did." And they claim they don't know that, but their golden future was disrupted. And so their children have never known the privilege that their parents knew until they're suddenly invited to spend the summer with this grandmother. And they go to this island where they've never been, where their family is, you know, almost a celebrity, but they're outsiders in this fishbowl, and they start to learn, you know, why it all fell apart years ago and some very dark secrets about their family.
I have to admit to you, I am getting chills just listening to you talk about what this is about again, because the twists and the turns and the complexity of this family drama that plays out really is incredible and kept me on the edge of my seat. And something I've always wanted to know is, where did this idea come from? What was maybe the first image or the first inkling of an idea you had for The Cousins?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because I got the idea right after I had turned in Two Can Keep a Secret. And Two Can Keep a Secret was a really hard book for me to write. It was my second book. I made a lot of false starts. It took me much longer than any of my other books to actually have it work. And so I handed it in. I was exhausted and I had no idea what I was going to work on. And I was just reading, you know, magazines and watching TV. And I read this article about the Kennedy grandchildren. And so many of them are doing really interesting things, like they're in politics or starting a business or a foundation, or they're in Hollywood. And I started thinking, what would happen to a family if it had its legacy interrupted? You know, if you had all that golden promise and then it was taken away and then you had the opportunity to get it back, what would that be like? And that's where the idea for the Story family came. And I immediately started thinking, for whatever reason, I set them on an island like Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I think because I grew up going there and I was always sort of fascinated by the idea of a contained environment, you know, and how much more dramatic something could be when you're in some ways cut off from the rest of the world. And the story really snowballed quickly from that.
Right, because so much of the propulsion for the characters is that idea of like what could have been. And
right.
It seems like in this novel, they have the chance to get it back. And especially the main characters, the cousins, their parents are really invested in their children going back to this island and getting back into their grandmother's good graces.
That's
that
right.
Idea of having what was missing is really, it's tempting as a reader. It makes you want it for them just as badly. But then you also have the same doubts when they get to the island. Things just are not going as planned.
No, nothing is what it seems.
Not at all. And it leaves you asking so many questions. But my next question for you is, we have the cousins. Their names are Millie, Aubrey, and Jonah. Could you tell me how you came up with their different personalities? Because they were really fun to spend the summer read with them and see their different personalities play out and how they responded to everything that happened on the island.
Yeah, whenever you have multi-POV, you have to make sure that the personalities complement each other, you know, so you need different types so they can bang up against each other and, you know, have conflict, but also come together in interesting ways. And Millie came to me first. She is, she was named after her grandmother, Mildred, you know, which is not really a 21st century girl name. She's never loved that. But it also gives her this connection to her mysterious family. And Millie's a New York City girl. She's very confident. She's outgoing. She likes art. She likes fashion. But she also has really high walls because her mother has been very deeply affected by the rift with her family. She's always kept people at a distance, and Millie now finds herself doing the same thing, and she hates it, but she doesn't know how to stop it. You contrast her with Aubrey, her cousin, who is a very kind, loving girl. All she wants is to please her father. She's an elite athlete, but very humble. And she's a connector, you know, she wants to bring people together, but she also has this bad habit of seeing people as the way she wishes they were instead of how they actually are. So she's the kind of person who could very easily become a pawn if she's not careful, you know, to more powerful people. And then you have Jonah, who is just bitter, you know, he's angry, he's very, very smart. Yeah, but he has a lot of resentment about how his life has turned out. And he has sort of this laser focus on what he wants to accomplish on the island. But he gets somewhat waylaid by an unexpected connection, and he has to choose what side he's really on. So when you put the three of them together, it made for some really interesting conflict and connection.
Really interesting conflict. And the idea of lost and found family, your far missing cousins. So I, of course, I have to ask, do you have cousins? And if so, would you like to give any of them a shout out right now?
I do have cousins. So I would say hello to Angela, Danny, and Brian.
And there's three of them. I'm starting to see the inspiration come together. Across all of your books, something I also notice and think about a lot too is that secrets, you show how secrets really hold the power to save or destroy your characters and their loved ones. Having written four novels now, how has your understanding of secrecy and the things we all keep to ourselves evolved over the course of your writing?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think, you know, whenever I sit down and try to imagine, you know, why people aren't just telling each other what's going on in their lives, it really comes down to, you know, who benefits from not telling, because I think as, you know, people, as humans, naturally, we like to connect and we like gossip, you know, that's a way that we connect with one another. We like to know what's up. We like to analyze it. So if you're holding something back, either for yourself or someone else, there has to be a pretty powerful reason why you're doing that. You know, what's that impetus? So figuring out the motivation for secrets is one of the most interesting things for me. And then also, you know, understanding what's going to happen when you tell it. You know, what are the ramifications? Maybe they're good. Often they're good. Often you shouldn't be keeping that secret. But other times it's going to cause some problems and going to force you to maybe examine parts of yourself or your background that you hadn't been ready to deal with. And that also is an impetus for character growth. So I see it as a vehicle for the characters to learn and grow.
How did you see between with One of Us is Lying, it was all about personal secrets that your different characters, the different students who were caught up in this murder, how their individual secrets affected them. And then with the cousins, it's really about a big family secret that all these people are trying to get to be one and the same secret. Was there, did you feel a difference in creating those two different types of narratives around the different almost number of secrets?
Yeah, with One of Us is Lying, what was fun to write about that was that they were quite unreliable, you know, for a big portion of the book. They had their big secrets that Simon had exposed, but they all also had secondary secrets that they were still holding back. And that made it very hard for the reader to trust them. And you know, up to the very end. And with the cousins, I think that the narrators are less unreliable. They're more straightforward. They are holding things back, though. You know, they're holding things back from each other. They are not so much holding things back from themselves, I think, which makes them a little bit more immediately trustworthy to the reader. But you do have that much bigger background of the family. And I've never had a family play such a prominent role. The parents of these kids are really as big a character as the protagonists are. In fact, one of the parents, Millie's mother, Allison, has her own point of view throughout the book in the past when she's 18 years old. It's not as frequent as the other three, but she's interspersed throughout, and you start to see what life was like in the island, you know, 24 years ago when this generation was young. So that was fun to write, to really kind of balance what's happening today and what happened in the past and how does it all connect.
Absolutely. And now, of course, when you get to the end of the novels, you have these incredible, mind-blowing twists. But do you know those before you start writing, or do you get to those at the same time as your readers do as you write?
It depends on the book. For One of Us is Lying and for The Cousins, I always knew from the very beginning what was going to happen, and it never changed. Two Can Keep a Secret changed constantly. I like to tell people I wrote that book 3 times, and every single time the victim changed and the killer changed. So if everyone feels suspicious, it's because at one point they probably did it. And with One of Us is Next, it didn't change that much, but there is, you know, a sort of final revelation that wasn't there at the very beginning, but it came to me early on as I was starting the opening chapters. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as I was writing so much towards the end, but in the beginning I thought, oh, this could really add something. So it's different with every book.
Well, what does it feel like when you do hit on that moment? Because as the reader, it is like, oh my goodness, how did she come up with this? I didn't see it coming. How does it feel for you when you finally have that aha moment of this is going to be cool?
It's the best feeling. And you know it. You know, I mentioned I struggled with Two Can Keep a Secret. And the whole time I'm writing, I felt like I was sort of like slogging through quicksand, you know, and I was in this forest and I couldn't see anything. And then when it finally hit me how the book should actually end and what had happened, I felt like I had this aerial view, you know, of the entire world of Echo Ridge, and I could see it all. And you just know, there's no more questions. It's just you just have to get it out at that point. So it's a great feeling. And if I don't have that feeling with the book, then I know I have more work to do. You know, I just turned in my 5th book, and about halfway through that, even though I knew how it was supposed to end, I wasn't happy with how I was getting to the resolution. And so I did a lot of work with my agent back and forth about what about this, what about that, how do we pull them apart and bring them together. And it was the same thing. It clicked and then everything made sense. So at this point, I've written enough books that I know if I don't have that click, then my readers aren't going to have it either. And I just have to keep working until I get there.
And you've always gotten there every single time. So thank you for doing all that.
Thank
hard work
you.
Reader. Do you, speaking of your readers and wanting them to get to that click moment, do you have a particular reader in mind when you're writing your novels?
I try to write novels that I would have liked to read as a teenager. That was what I did with One of Us is Lying. And when I wrote that was back in 2015. And a lot of the people I shared early drafts with were like, well, I like it, but I don't know if this is the kind of book that, you know, people are buying right now. Like, I don't know, thrillers aren't like super popular, and multi-POV is not everybody likes that. And it just didn't necessarily seem like a book that people were looking for at the time. But I thought I would have loved to read it when I was a teenager. So just keep going and we'll see what happens. And so I try to do that with each one and to create something that I would have plucked off a shelf and been unable to put down until I knew what happened.
Now, I'm not sure how much you can tell us, but you did mention you just turned in your 5th book, which I imagine gives everyone listening chills. We're excited about that one. Can you touch on maybe kind of the themes or types of secrets that one might touch on, or maybe even a future project themes you'd like to write about next?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about book 5 because there's some information out there. It's called You'll Be the Death of Me. And I call it my Ferris Bueller Days Off meets a murder mystery. And the genesis for that book was actually I was on a panel with a bunch of other authors right after One of Us Is Lying had come out, and we were all joking that I should just add murder to all of the 80s movies, you know, like Pretty in Pink with murder, 16 Candles with murder. And I can't remember if someone said it or if I just thought it, but the idea of Ferris Bueller's Day Off with murder struck me, and I thought, okay, but that would actually work because that movie kicks off with something you're not supposed to do. Just like The Breakfast Club did, you know, you're in detention, you're skipping school, that's an opportunity for conflict. So it just sort of stuck in the back of my mind for years. And it wasn't until I actually turned in The Cousins that I really thought about it. And I had this idea of the three protagonists being former childhood friends who had kind of split apart and come together at the start of what would be a very bad day if they actually went to school, you know, and just deciding not to do it, to head into Boston to try and recreate the magic of an earlier day when they used to be friends. And then everything goes terribly wrong. You know, they're caught up in a crime and they're keeping lots of secrets from each other. And the only way out of the situation they find themselves in is to finally be honest with one another and also with themselves. So it was so fun to write. I'm really excited for readers to see this book. I feel like the chemistry between the three main characters it's one of the best friend groups I've written to date, and I really had a lot of fun with it.
Well, speaking of friends and friend groups, do you think that the characters from your different novels, do you think they would be friends? Can you pick out any who might be best friends or mortal enemies?
Oh, that's such a good question. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Millie from The Cousins and Phoebe from One of Us Is Next would get along really well. You know, I can see those girls hanging out and like going shopping and, you know, just taking no nonsense from anyone. I think that Bronwyn and Ellery would get along, but they'd also butt heads, you know, because they're both like very strong-willed. They're both very proactive characters. Mm-hmm. You know, they're both not the types to sit on the sidelines and let things happen. You know, they're the ones out there making it happen. So I think they'd be, you know, they'd get a lot done, but they'd argue a lot while they were doing it.
Well, I like hearing about all the connections between your books because they are such interesting characters. I find myself thinking like, oh, I would definitely hang out with Millie. I would want to be friends with her. Like, I'm not sure I'd be friends with Jonah. But
yeah.
They might get along together. Have you ever, again, speaking of friends, have you ever given any of your own friends or pets or anybody cameos in your novels?
Pets, yes. So this started with One of Us Is Next. All the significant dogs in my life get cameos in my book. So my childhood dog, Fritz, is in One of Us Is Next. He's Knox's dog. And my dog, Sammy, has a cameo in The Cousins. My sister's dog, Mila, is in You'll Be the Death of Me. And the book I'm working on right now, which I hope will turn into my sixth book, has my sister's other dog. So basically, I just put all the dogs I've ever loved into my books.
That is a very high honor, and I have to imagine with quarantine, you might have more friends and family who have brand new quarantine puppies that will maybe show up one day.
Definitely. Yeah, dogs are living their best life right now.
So another question I have for you is, what were you like when you were a teen, and do you think you could have fallen into being a main character in a Karen McManus novel?
Yeah, there's little parts of my personality and lots of characters. I think, you know, I did have the ambition of Bronwyn, but I didn't have her self-confidence. I was definitely more of like a people pleaser, like Cooper. So I don't know. I think I would need to be in the right friend group mix, you know, which is true of many of my characters. Like on their own, they're flailing a little bit. They're not sure what to do. But when you put them together with the right mix of other personalities, then they get stuff done.
Yeah, and that really speaks to just the importance of connection and having your people. And right now in quarantine, your book friends, the fictional characters and books become really important friends for people, myself included, when we're reading. So you've given us so many that we get to hang out with and read along beside. So I know a lot of people cannot wait to meet the new cast of characters in The Cousins later this year.
I was counting up my books the other day on Instagram, and it's, you know, 4 books, 4 years, and it's 12 main characters, which is a lot of people.
Do you ever go to sleep at night and you can just hear someone else's voice in the back of your head talking to you?
Yeah, often the main characters of whatever I'm working on.
Oh,
their voices get very, very strong, particularly during the drafting stage. That's when they almost take over my mind.
Do they ever creep into like your day-to-day life? Like you're at the grocery store and you're like, I bet Millie would really like this snack today.
No, I do. I think about them as I'm sort of going through my day, definitely. So yeah. Or, you know, I might be watching a show and think, oh, Aubrey would love this. You know, this is right up her alley.
Well, I'd also love to hear, just going about our day-to-day, is what are you reading day-to-day? I know you touched a little bit talking about your book club earlier, but what's currently on your TBR? What have you read recently that you've really loved?
Yeah, so I recently read 3 great and very different thrillers, YA thrillers. So I read Surrender Your Sons by Adam Sass. I read Inheritance Games by Jennifer Lynn Barnes and Grown by Tiffany D. Jackson. And those are all out recently. They came out in September, also all available now. All great. Twisty, turny, terrific characters, very absorbing reads, which is what we need right now. And there's so many books I'm looking forward to, but a couple I'll mention is Throwaway Girls by Andrea Contos, which is actually out now. I just haven't read it yet. I have my copy. I'm waiting to finish drafting because I never like to read thrillers while I'm drafting. So that looks really good. And then I'm really excited for A Sky Beyond the Storm by Saba Tahir. She's going to wrap up Ember in the Ashes, and I can't wait to see how she breaks my heart. And also...
Went.
Yeah, because she totally will, you know, and I'll thank her for it, which is a weird dynamic. And then I'm looking forward to The Ravens by Danielle Page and Cass Morgan and Wings of Fire by J.L.
That is just an epic TBR list.
It's an epic TBR.
You have a
There's
great
so many good
you.
Books.
They really are.
I think if, you know... Childhood Karen were to be asked what would be the best thing about being an author, she would say all the books that just show up at your house and you get to read them, you know, before they're even out. That is a dream I did not even know was possible when I was a kid.
That is. And it is funny. I recently relocated and brought all my books with me because of coronavirus. And my sister walked in and she goes, oh my God, you have so many books. And I was like, this is the dream of dreams for young Caitlin too. Where I just have books everywhere. It's all I wanted and now it's all I've got. And they're heavy. They are heavy. You can fill a box and it's a good workout too while you're stuck at home in quarantine moving all your books around.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be, I think, reorganizing my office soon because I am 100% running out of shelf space. I must have more shelves. So
there's no such thing.
That's my next quarantine project. Mm-mm.
Oh, I love it.
I can fill them.
Well, my last question for you is, how can readers out there listening and connect with you?
Yes, so we mentioned Instagram earlier. I'm Writer KMC there, and the same on Twitter. So that's where I'm most active, particularly Instagram lately, because there's been lots of great images to share from the TV show and also from the upcoming Cousins. You know, we're gearing up for that release in December, so there's lots of fun stuff still to come.
Yeah, so everybody, I encourage you to go check out Karen on all of those channels. And just a big thank you to you, Karen, for chatting with us, letting us get inside your head and the heads of your many wonderful characters. Is there anything else you wanted to share today?
No, just thank you so much for having me. And I hope everybody listening is doing well, staying safe, and hanging in there.
Thank you for listening to Books Connect Us. For more great book recommendations and information about your favorite authors, feel free to follow Penguin Random House on social media or visit penguinrandomhouse.com. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps more listeners to find our show. This podcast is produced by Pat Stango and edited by Clayton Gumbert. I've been Erin Leaf, and until next time, this has been Books Connect Us.